Good afternoon, everybody. We'll start Chazar from the Zayin Amud Beis, the first Bechina, covered till the end of the topic of Birchas HaMitzvah. That was a very fascinating Gemara, famous Gemara. So the Gemara is commenting on the line in the Mishnah that you do B'dika L'or HaNer. So the Gemara says, how do you know that B'dika should be L'or HaNer? So Rav Chisda is an Amir. Rav Chisda comes up with a whole wild idea. There's a Gzera Shova Mitzia from Mitzia, Chippus and Chippus, and Chippus from there is Neris from there. That's how you know. It's an Asmachta. Obviously, it's an Asmachta. It's not a din, the whole din of Dikas Chomes Lor HaNer is only with the Rabbana. But it's not the Rav Chisda. You see, Rav Chisda didn't invent it on his own. He was an Amir. He heard it from earlier generations. It was a tradition, at least from the days of the Tanoim. The Gemara quotes Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, has the whole Gzeirah Shova, the whole Asmachta, then the Gemara on the last line has Tana Rabbanan, and it goes through the whole story on Chesam et al. So that's very often in the Gemara you have like that. You have a Brisa that the Gemara finds problematic, then an Amora comes up with a wild idea how to read the Brisa, then the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, there's a Beferisha Brisa that says exactly the way the Amora interpreted it. So it seems from the Gemara, it's not that the Amori came up with this pshat. When he learned in the yeshiva, that's the way they set it up. So he's just saying, oh, they had a lot of oral traditions. We have a lot of oral traditions today as well about how to read Gemaras and how to interpret the Gemaras. Some of the oral traditions are mistaken, but most of them are not mistaken. Okay, so the Gemara has this whole Yalfusa. Then it says you shouldn't use an abuka. Why? What's wrong? An abuka is not called an air on Matzah Shabbos when you say the bracha in the middle of Avdol. You say bar miyari ha'esh. So the Gemara says it's abuka. Abuka is a mitzvah min amufkar. Abuka l'avdol a mitzvah min amufkar. 15 lines from the top of Chesam and Aleph. So the Gemara says no, abuka is an air, but there are a few different reasons why we wouldn't want to use an abuka for b'dikas chametz. But Avuka for Havdol is a mitzvah min amufcha. Yeah. What's the connection between Bar Miyari Ha'esh and Havdol HaMatzoi Shabbos? So the Gemara says that it's Matzoi Shabbos is the anniversary of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam HaRishon how to harness the energy in fire. That's what some Eforshim explain. Could be it's Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch in his commentary on Chumash. That there's one Tana who holds Havor Lalav Yotzes. We had earlier on the Perek. Machlekes about the Havor Lachalak Yotzes. Havor Lalav Yotzes. We don't paskin Lalav. The Tana holds Lalav Yotzes, hold that there's no Koris and there's no Misa on Havor. There are 39 Malachas and 38. There's Koris and Misa, and Havor is only Lalav Yotzes. Why should Havor be different? So that's what I think Rabbi Hirsch explains in his commentary on Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't teach Adam HaRishon how to harness, how to use Havara till Matzoi Shabbos. And all of the Malachas are supposed to be Zecha L'Briya Shamayim V'aretz. That on Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't show that to Adam HaRishon till after Shabbos. So that's why there's a difference between the first 38 and Havara. Okay. Havara. So it's really a bichas. Well, what kind of a bracha is it? Is it bichas hashevach or bichas haydoa? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us the ability to harness the energy in fire and to invent and have factories and so on. Or we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the godless of Hashem, that there is such a thing as energy in the world. Which is it? Is a Birchas Haidoya, we're thanking him for what he gave us, he showed out of Marishan, or we're just praising Hashem. The difference is a Birchas HaShevach also, both Shevach and Haidoya. First you have, let's say, a Birchas HaNehenin, first you say the Bracha, and then you get the Hanoah. Also, Lohanis Menorah Mazeh Beloi Bracha, and the Bracha is the Matir. The Gemara has in Brachas Daf Lamenei, Hanan Menorah Mazeh Beloi Bracha is Kilo Mo'al, because Hashemayim, Shemayim Lashem, Horetz Nosan of Ne'odam, he gave the earth to mankind, Kan Kodim Bracha, Kan Le'acha Bracha. Before you say the Bracha, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after we say Bracha, then we're Koinit, we're Poidit from the Hegdish. the bracha, the Yerushalmi has such an expression that the bracha is like a pidyon on the Hegdash. So you have to be part of the Hegdash before you get Hanua. So if you recite a Birchas HaMitzvah, the Gemara says you have to recite Ovelasi Asam, and a Birchas HaNenen have to recite in advance of getting the Hanua, because Asel Hanus Menorah Mazeb LaBracha. But both the Birchas Shevach and the Birchas Hoidua, both of them are recited. No, it was a Birchas Hoidua. The Gemara has, if I have a farm and I need rain, so if it rains, then I give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he did something wonderful for me, and then I recite the Birchas Hoidua. But if it's a Birchas HaShevach also, Birchas HaShevach usually also you say after. Let's say I see lightning, I hear thunder. The lightning and thunder doesn't help me. I don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave me the thunder. I don't need the thunder, I don't need the lightning. I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has such shilton in the world. That's a Bichas HaShevach on the Gvuras Hashem. And a Bichas HaDoya is on the Chazdei Hashem, that Hashem was kind to me. So a Bichas, there are two minhagim, a Machlok is HaKrenim, what he should say. The Gemara says, Eim Avrocha Malaner Ache Yeyosu La'oro, the bracha that you recite, Borim Mi'or Heish, HaMetzoy Shabbos, you have to get Hanoem from the Ner. So some have the practice, first you get the Hanoem, then you say the bracha, that it's a Birchas Hoidor. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are able to get the Hanoem. And others hold, no, it's a Birchas HaShevach, a Birchas HaShevach also should be said after. Lachar Asiyosim. Anyway, they're two different menhagim. Whether you say, they once asked Rav Soloveitchik, what does he think is more correct? They told him some Achleik Zachranim. So he said, what's the difference? The Gemara says, Mi'ikar Adin, as long as you're close enough to the Ner to be able to get Hanoa, you don't have to actually get Hanoa. So he said, what's the difference? The Gemara said, you don't have to get Hanoa. So what's the difference? Whether you get Hanoa before or after, shouldn't make such a big fuss about it. Whether before or after, you don't even have to get the Hanoa. So it's all, can't even say it's minhagim. You can do it like this, you can do it like that. Yeah. Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush. There is a discussion in Rishonim where the women are mechuyev in Havdalah. Women are mechuyev in Kiddush. The Gemara says Kiddush is a chiyuv min HaTorah. Zohar is Yamashtabas Lekatcha. Zohar means Zachrehu, Lahazakir. Not remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy, but rather mention the day of Shabbos to sanctify it, by declaring Kiddush, by reciting Kiddush. We are the Kaddish today. Like Lerambanan, on Parshas Yisro, on the Pasuk Zohar, Zam Shabbos Lekatshai, and Aseres Hadibus, Ramban says that when we recite Kiddush, we are sanctifying the day, like when the Bez Nagadol declares on the Shnas HaYovel, the Kiddush, the Shnas HaMishim Shana, when the Bez Nagadol declares Mikudeshas HaShana, Mikudeshas HaYovel. So when we recite Kiddush, we are, Shabbos has Kedusha Min HaShemayim, Kviya V'kayma from Sheshes Mei Bereshis, but if we recite Kiddush, we add Tosefes Kedusha. We endow the day of Shabbos with Kedusha B'diyodam also. So Kiddush, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk Zohar LaHazikir, to mention Kedusha Sayyim, that Kiddush is the rice, and Zohar V'shamah B'dibur Echad Nemru, so we treat Zohar V'shamah like a Hekesh. A Hekesh usually means you have two dinim written in the same Pasuk here, there, and two different Chumashim. Zohar is in Shmos, and Shomer is in Vayeschanan and Chumash Devarim. But because they were both recited simultaneously, B'di Berech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed both simultaneously, so it's even stronger than a Hekesh. Hekesh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu Pasuk. We assume the end of the Pasuk has a connection to the beginning of the Pasuk. The two dinim are related. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed both simultaneously. Mashayin HaPeh Yecholu L'Dabar V'lo Ho'ozen Yecholu L'Shmoya. How can they say two things at the same time? So since Shomer is a loisese, Hishama pen viala is a loisese. So since women are mechuyev in Shomer, even though it's a zman grama, because it's a loisese, so even though Kiddush is really a mitzvah, it's a zman grama, women should have been potter, but nonetheless, it's an exception to the rule, and women are chayev in Kiddush, because of this, zoch v'shomer b'dibrech ha'nemru, so it's a hekesh. So women are mechuyev in Kiddush. What about Havdalah? Is Havdalah deraisa also? So that's the big machlokes harishonim. The Rambam holds Havdalah. Rambam sounds beferish that Havdalah is deraisa. Havdalah is also deraisa. You have to mention the fact that the Shabbos is a holy day is separated from Yimus Achol b'knisasa b'tziyasa, the beginning of Shabbos and the end of Shabbos. So the Rambam, the Beferish, has mashma that it's their Raisin. Tosfos has other opinions that it's not their Raisin. A machlekes and Rishonim. So that's where the Magen Mishnah raises a possibility. Maybe women are only obligated to recite Kiddush. Maybe women are not obligated to recite Havdalah, because Havdalah is only the Rabbanan, and it reverts back to the Klal. Then the Mitzvah says it's Shazman Grama, Noshem HaPotter. Kiddush is an exception to the rule. There are a lot of exceptions to the rule. Hakel is an exception to the rule. A lot of exceptions. That's a big machlekes where the women are Mechuyev and Havdalah. Bottom line, we paskin that women are Mechuyev and Havdalah. So if a woman has no other way to hear Havdalah, then she has to say her own Havdalah, no shalom. But usually the meaning is that the women avoid reciting their own Havdalah because of this machlokes. Maybe the women are not Mechuyev and Havdalah, and even though the women volunteer to shake a lulav and to sit in sukkah and to do a lot of mitzvah sase, shahazman grama, but maybe this mitzvah is a brachas, and maybe it's not right to volunteer a brach. Even though the Rabbi Natam says that when a woman shakes a lulav, when a woman listens to Tkir Shofar, she should say a bracha, that's because she's saying a bracha in conjunction with a mitzvah that she's doing. She's doing a maisa mitzvah of shaking a lulav, but here the whole mitzvah consists of a bracha. Maybe that's right to, not, maybe that's not proper to volunteer a bracha. Maybe it's a bracha shein etzvichem. But bottom line, we pass women, I'm a chuyev and Abdullah. So if need be, a woman has to say her own Abdullah. Meaning is that the women avoid saying their own Abdullah. They try to hear from a man. What, so the Mishnah Berurah comes up with a chiddush. Mishnah Berurah has an awful lot of chiddushim. Mishnah Berurah comes up with a chiddush. And maybe even if women are a chuyev and Abdullah, but they're not a chuyev and bar mi'ari ha'ish. Because bar mi'ari ha'ish is really not part of Abdullah. It's a birchas seida shevach, a birchas ha'idoya, one or the other. And it's a Zman Grama. It's a mitzvah says Zman Grama. We only recite the Bracha Matzoi Shabbos. If a person recites, we paskin that you, if a person didn't recite Havdalah Matzoi Shabbos, you can say until Tuesday Shkia. Because the first 3 days after Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is called Lebosu Shabbata. That's a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara says when you write a get, so you're supposed to write a Zman. You have to write the Zman. You have to write what day of the week it is, what day of the month, and what year. So if you, instead of writing what day of the week, you write Mikami Shabbata. It was a day of the week that's in advance of Shabbos. So if it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's a valid Zman. That's called Mikami Shabbata. And if you wrote as the day of the week, Lebosso Shabbata, if it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that's Lebosso Shabbata. The week is divided into two parts. Lebosso Shabbat and Mikami Shabbat, and we paskin, there's a machlokes thing, when we paskin, you say Havdalah till Tuesday Shkia, because that's called Lebosso Shabbat. So the, but if a person says Havdalah on Sunday, or Monday, or Tuesday before the Shkia, it doesn't say Bar Mi'aresh. Bar Mi'aresh is only on Matzoi Shabbos, in commemoration of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the Marishan how to harness the power, the energy in fire. So it's really a different, we enhance the chashivas of the bracha by reciting it ala kos. That's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch that the one is reciting Havdalah should hold the cup in his hand when he says the Bari Me'ari Ha'esh. A lot of people don't do that. They put the cup down and they say Bari Me'ari Misamim and they say Bari Me'ari Ha'esh. That's not right. You're supposed to recite all of the brachas ala kos. When you recite the bracha ala kos, it enhances the significance of the bracha. The Gemara says Shachyone can really be recited on Yom Tov, on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. You can really recite it as you're walking in the street. But since you're saying Kiddush anyway over a cup of wine, so you may as well save the Shachyone till the end of the Kiddush. So you'll enhance the Hashivas. You'll recite the Brach of Shachyone, ala kos. So here also, one is supposed to be holding, if a person says Kiddush Abdullah and he's not holding the cup, it's sitting on a table, it's also called the Brach ala kos. But more correct is that he's supposed to be magbia tefach me'al shulchan. More correct is when you recite a bracha ala kos, you should be holding the kos, not holding it sitting on the table, holding it magbia tefach, minimum of a tefach to pick it up. So more correct is that you should really hold the kos when you're saying bari me'ari ha'esh and bari me'in b'samim also. So that's what the Gemara says, that havuka la'avdala is a mitzvah min amufcha. More correct is to use an havuka. What's the definition of havuka? So we usually assume, like a Havdalah candle, that you have a few wicks, and each wick is burning, and all of the wicks together make one gigantic flame. But Rabbi Kiveger on Hilchas Shechita quotes the Maharil, if you have two candles that are near each other, even though the two flames don't blend in to be one flame, two flames are near each other, that's also considered an avuka. Why? The Maharil says it about Havdalah. Why does Rabbi Kiveger quote it in Hilchas Shechita? Because the Yerideya, the beginning of Yerideya, starts with Hilchas Shechita. The Yerideya quotes a din from the Mishnah Lechatchila, it's not proper to shecht balayla, because you have to see if you shechted roiv of the kana and roiv of the veshet. You have to see what you're doing. You have to make sure that you're shechting in the proper location. So if it's going to be dark, it's no good. So lechatchila you shouldn't shecht balayla unless you have an avuka kenegdo. If you have an avuka, then it's not a problem. So Rabbi Kiveger says, what's an avuka? So he says, the definition of avuka is the same by Havdalah and by Shechita Balayla. And he quotes this Maharil that it's not really necessary. It's a heder. It's not really necessary to have all the different flames blend in together to make one flame. As long as the candles are near each other, that's also called an avuka. Many have a practice in certain parts of Europe. I think in Lithuania they had this practice. In other parts of Europe also they had a practice when you say Yaknahaz. When you say, when it's Motzoi Shabbos, going into Yontif. Yontif is on Sunday. So you say, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. You're saying Kiddush because it's Yontif, and you're saying Havdalah because it's Motzoi Shabbos. So you say Ner, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. The Nun of Yaknahaz stands for the Ner. So many have the practice that you usually use the candles, someone bench licht on the table, so there are candles, so you say bar miari ho'esh. So many have the practice that you tilt the candles one next to the other so that the two wicks will make one big flame together. And then many have the practice that on Yontif, shechalias b'matzoi Shabbos, you don't do that. Why? Since Mikra Din, the Maharil, quoted by Rabbi Kiveger, says it's good enough if the two flames are near each other, you don't necessarily have to make a one big flame. So here, if they're going to tilt the two together, the choshesh that maybe you're doing some malacha unnecessarily. What malacha are you doing already? So some write in the svarim, some achronim write that it's a chashash of mechabe, because when you're going to tilt the candle, some of the wax is going to drip down. And the Gemara says in Beitza, I'm a stopping men Hashem shebiner chay mishum mechabe. If you have a candle that's burning, And you tilt it in such a way that some of the wax falls out, or if you have a cup of oil with a wick there, and then you put in a spoon and you take out some of the oil, so it's going to diminish the flame right now. That's what Tosis claims. It's going to cause the flame to become a little lower immediately. So that's chai mishum mechabe, even though the flame is still burning. It's also called mechabe because you're diminishing the flame right now. So some say that that's why you shouldn't do it, because if you tilt one candle onto the other, some of the drops of wax will certainly fall down. And that'll be a chashash malocha mechabe. Others say, I remember hearing from Rabbanim, others say that it's a chashash of havara shelo l'tzarach, since it's not really necessary, because the Maharil says it is considered an avuka, as long as the two candles are near each other, it's also called an avuka. So if you're going to put the two candles together, you're making the fire bigger than it was before. So that's havara shelo l'tzarach. I'm not sure exactly why it should be havara, but I think in the svarim where they write this up, they say that it's a kibui shelo l'tzarach because some of the wax will drip down. Yeah, that's a chiddush. Yes.
Oh, sorry. Regarding holding the coast during Havdalah, yes. Which hand should the coast be in? Because if you're making the summon, should the summon be in the right hand?
The Gemara says in Masechas Brachas, towards the end of Brachas, that you should hold the wine in your right hand and the summon in the left hand. So the Vilna Gaon says that the simple reading of the Gemara is because the wine, the bracha bar peh gofen, is more important than the bracha bar minim summon. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that you hold the cup of wine in the right hand the whole time, and you hold the psalmim in the left hand. You don't switch hands. That's what the Vilna Gaon, they quote, there's a sefer on brachas that's called Imre Noam, and they have commentaries from the Vilna Gaon. So they quote, the Gaon holds that you shouldn't switch hands. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from, I forgot already which Rishon, the Mechaber quotes one of the Rishonim, that, and many people have that practice, that they switch hands in the middle. That when you start the Havdalah, you say, Bar Piagofen, you're holding the cup of wine in your right hand, and the Psalmim on the left hand. And then you want to say, Bar Minim Psalmim, so you're supposed to hold on your right hand whatever you're saying the Brachan. That's why you held the cup of wine in the right hand. So now that you want to say, Bar Minim Psalmim, so the Vilna Gaon holds, since Bari Priyagofen is more important than Bari Minim Samim, and we determined that you hold the wine in the right hand, you hold the wine in the right hand the whole time. You don't switch hands. And in Shulchan Aruch, they quote one of the Rishon that you switch hands in the middle. So you should put the Samim now in the right hand, so that when you say the Bracha Bari Minim Samim, you're holding the thing over which he's saying the Bracha in the right hand, but you should still continue to hold the wine in the left hand. Because if you're not holding the wine, it's on the table. So it's not fully a bracha lakos. But yeah, but it is a bracha lakos. Even if you say the whole Kiddush and the whole Abdullah and the cup, you didn't pick up the cup. But yeah, but you are yotze. Lechatchil, you should pick it up. But that's what they quote from. The Vilna Gaon held that you don't switch hands. My father came from a section in Romania, Chassidish section. His meaning was that he didn't switch hands. He didn't follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. I don't think it's the influence of the Vilna Gaon went over to Romania. I don't think so. The Vilna Gaon didn't have too much influence on the Hasidim, on the Vishnitzer Hasidim. They had the Vinik there also not to switch hands. Okay. So that's the Gemara.
And the Nair?
And there you should hold the cup of wine in your right hand and look, if you, strictly speaking, if you're close enough to get Hanoi, you don't even have to look at anything. But the minig is that you look at your fingers, three different things. You look at the difference between the fingernail, which is shiny, and the skin. Then you look at the shade, the shadow that's caused because the flame is in front of you. And by holding your fingers bent over, so you cause a shadow to appear on the palm of your hand. And then you stretch, you open your hand out to show that now you can do malachas. First you hold like this, and then you open the hand out to show now you can do malachas. Those are the three things that you do. You look at the difference between the fingernail and the skin. Then you look at the shadow on the palm of the hand. Then you stretch open the hand to show it's mutter to do activities of malacha. Yeah, so this is the Gemara that you say Bari Miyari Hoyesham at Soy Shabbos in the middle of Avdolah. Yeah, it was the Takanas Chachamim. The Gemara gives different reasons why you should dafka not use an avuka by Bedikas Chametz. Then the Gemara explains called Mokum Shemachnis Mechametz. Mokum Shemachnis Mechametz, there's no need to do Bedikas Chametz. Mokum Shemachnis Mechametz, you do. If you have little children, so the definition of Mokum Shemachnis Mechametz changes because the little children could hide Chametz anywhere. But if you have only adults, then the Gemara gives you the klolim, what's considered normal. Okay. Mokum Shemachnis Mechametz, you have to be Bedik Chametz. Then the Gemara has four lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah from later. Chomet shenafel olav mapolis, harehu kimavur. How much is mapolis? Rashi quotes from the Gemara later, three tvochim. That's if it's less than three tvochim, it's akelav yochel l'chapis achrov. That's not called nafel olav mapolis. But if it's more than three tvochim, ain't akelav yochel l'chapis achrov. The kelav won't be able to smell it. So he's not going to dig it out. So three tvochim is considered nafel olav Enough for all of my polis, fine. And then the Gemara says, sometimes you're not mechuyif to do bedikas chametz mipnei ha-sakana. So what do you mean mipnei ha-sakana? What is the sakana? There may be sakana sakrov. There may be a scorpion there. It depends where you live. In New York City, we don't have any scorpions. If you live in Eretz Yisrael on a farm, there may be scorpions. So the Gemara says, if there's a concern of Sakana Sakrov, then the Gemara says, strictly speaking, Shluch and Mitzvah, Enim Nizoykim, the Gemara on the base, Ches on the base, learns that from the Pasuk. Pasuk says in Chumash, we should all be Oyla Regal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, and we shouldn't be concerned. Layach Manish, Esaretzcha Baal Oyscha. The enemy will not take over our farms when we all go to Yerushalayim and all the farms are empty, all the homes are empty. So the Torah promises us, shlucha mitzvah einem nizokim, unless it's shchiach hazeka. If it's a miyotam motzi, then you have to be concerned. How do you know? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel HaNavi he should go and anoint David as the king. Shmuel HaNavi is afraid of Shama Shaul Haraguni. Shaul is going to kill me if he finds out. So, but the Rabban Shalom told him to do this. The Rabban Shalom says, you're right. Take with you Eglas Baki Tikach Biadecha Shai. Cover it up. Don't do it camouflage what you're doing. So see, the Rabban Shalom didn't get angry at Shmuel. He said, there's what to be concerned about. So you see, that even though normally Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizoikim, you have Haftocha, but if it's Shchiach HaZeka, then you do have to be concerned. You have to be Choshish for the Miut if it's a Miut HaMotzeh. Yeah, we know that's always the din. The Ramban says, that's why when you Shech the Behemah, the Medrash says, practices, you only check for sirchas on the lungs. There are 70 different kinds of trephas. So why only check for one? What about the other 69 kinds of trephas? So the Ramban explains, because trephas, sirchas, and the reyes are miyot ha-motzi, all the others are miyot she'en ha-motzi. So that's the first Ramban in the Melchamas at the beginning of Chulin, and it's in the Chidush Ramban, practically word for word the same. There's slight discrepancies between them, the way the Ramban has it in the Chidushim, or the way he has it in the Muhammad. One of the discrepancies is that in one of the two sources, he said, this din, that if you have a miyot ha-motzeh, you have to be boidek, that's only midirabbanan. And the other one, it doesn't say midirabbanan. It doesn't say it's minat Torah, but that word midirabbanan is missing. Probably also, he doesn't, maybe it's a misprint, maybe they just think Savyat was missing. We assume that this whole din of the Ramban, that you have to check for shatnas, if it's a miyot ha-motzeh, that this kind of a beggar has shatnas, you have to check for bugs, for insects and vegetables, there's a miyot ha-motzeh, and you have to check for sirchas on the lungs, even though you don't have to check for the other trephas. Whenever there's a miyot ha-motzeh, midirabbanan, there were machme, you have to check. So we assume it's only a din midirabbanan. Some achrayim wanted to say it's a din deraisa based on a mechilta, commenting on the pasuk v'shamarta sachuk hazos lemo adam yamim yamima. The Gemara in the last parak in Erevin has a machlokes hatanoim. Which chukah is it referring to? Is it talking chukas haPesach? V'shamarta sachuk hazos, you should bring the korban Pesach miyamim yamima annually. Yamim yamima means once a year. Or does it refer to chukas haTfilin? And miyamim yamima means daily, because the parsha where it says it ends off v'shamarta sachuk hazos speaks about observing Korban Pesach, Yonta Pesach, and then it speaks about Tefillin, so it's unclear. So if the Pasuk goes on Tefillin, B'chukas HaTefillin HaKosim HaDaber, then the fact that it says Miyamim Yamima indicates that Laila loves Matfilin. That's how the Raman paskens. Ben HaTorah Laila loves Matfilin. Most of the Rishonim assume not so, that Laila is Matfilin, Ben HaTorah. It's only by the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to put Tefillin by Laila, because people usually go to sleep at night. And in their sleep, they don't have control over all of their bodily functions. So a lot of times they'll pass gas. So that's not their heretz to be mefiach. When you have the tefillin on, you're not allowed to wear tefillin unless you have a gufnaki. Gufnaki means physically gufnaki, and there should be no hirhurim either. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that today we assume everybody has a problem with gufnaki, so we cut down the wearing of tefillin to the bare minimum. So we only wear, Bizman HaGemara used to wear tefillin all day long. They took it off when they went to the Beis HaKisei, but they wore tefillin all day long. We only wear tefillin till the end of Shachris, and that's all. And we wouldn't recommend that women should volunteer to wear tefillin, because you need a gufnaki. So the men have a problem. Everybody has a problem with gufnaki. So we wouldn't recommend a ketanim bizman ha-gemar, a child a couple of years before bar mitzvah, when he would be able to cutting out the lishma tefillov, he knows how to keep himself clean. Aviv lo keach lo tefillin. Now we don't do that. Now we don't have the children years before bar mitzvah putting on tefillin. A month or two before, you have them put on tefillin. But noshim abadim who are putting on tefillin, we don't recommend they should volunteer. We're concerned that everybody has an issue with the gufnaki. So again, So the pasuk v'shamata so chukas zos and the machlokes hatanaim is it speaking about chukas hatfilin or chukas hapesach? If it's chukas hatfilin, yamim yamim means daily, and it tells you mi yamim v'lo kol yamim that not all days do you wear tefillin. Shabbos and Yom Tov you don't wear tefillin. It's an iser v'shamarta ishamim ben v'al is a lois essay. So it's an iser. A person shouldn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and also mi yamim yamim only by yamim and not by leilos. So most of the Rishonim don't paskin like that. Most of the Rishonim paskin that the chukas ha-pesach ha-kosa medaber. And Laila lazman tefillin is only midirabbanan. Menatori, you may put on tefillin balayla. It's only a gzera derabbanan. Shema yishan bohem, shema yafiach bohem. And Shabbos and Yom Tov is part of tefillin is based on a different marker, not based on this pasuk, ni yamin v'lo kol yamin. So the... on the assumption that v'shamarta so chukas zos, be frank to chukas hatfilin, so the mechilta has a comment v'shamarta so chukas zos means you have to be bodik your tefillin from time to time. How often do you have to be bodik the tefillin? So it says mezuzah, you have to be bodik twice every 7 years. It means approximately every 3-4 years you have to be bodik the mezuzah and the tefillin also from time to time. You need the bedika. So the Mechilta writes as if it's learned out in this pasuk. V'shamarta sochukazoy. So it sounds like they're saying it's a miyotamotzi that tefillin psul will creep in over the course of several years. If you leave the tefillin long enough without checking it, so a psul may creep in and you may not realize it. So it sounds like this din that you need bedika when you have a miyotamotzi is a real din deraisa learned out from the pasuk. V'shamarta sochukazoy. So the Arsamech has a sefer on Chumash called Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma, he quotes those Achranim who say like that. You see from the drasha of the Mechilta that the Ramban's din that you have to be bodik when you have a miyotamotzi is a din deraisa. So he says he doesn't think it's the same. He thinks that maybe there's a major difference between a mitzvah seseh and a mitzvah lo seseh. That you have to be bodik for sirchas on the lungs. That's only midirabbanan, because the worst thing that'll happen is minatar you go basarov. But there may be a miut and maybe it's treif. So oynis rachmana patre. If a person eats treifus, ba'oynis, he's not mechuyev to check. He's not mechuyev. So sin's not mechuyev. So that's called an oynis if it turns out that he's eating treifus, and oynis is kemandaloy of it. But so that's as far as eating treifus, as far as wearing. Shatness, as far as eating bugs. So the whole chodesh bedika is only with the rabbanon, because the worst thing that'll happen is that it has a bug in it, and you eat the bug. So it's oynis rachmana patri. But with respect to tefillin and mezuzah, if you're not going to be bodik it, and it'll come out that the tefillin and the mezuzah were puzzle, then you keep oynis rachmana patri, but oynis is commander of it le'amrin. You don't say because the person was nanas, so it's considered as if he fulfilled the mitzvah. No. Maybe the chayvas bedika that the mechilta learns out in the pasuk v'shamarta only applies to tefillin and mezuzah because it's a mitzvah saseh. And if it'll come out that the tefillin and mezuzah are puzzle, so then you didn't do the mitzvah. But bedika by loisase, bedika by to check the vegetables for insects, or to check the garments for shatness, or to check the animal for treifus on the lungs, that's an iser. So they're oynis keman deloyav. That's how the Meshech Chachma suggests. Yeah. What exactly is the definition of a miyotamotzi? Poshep shating mar here is that by shchiyah hazeka, poshep shchiyah hazeka means a miyotamotzi. How much percentage does it have to be that it's called the Mir Tamotze? So the Mishkan is Yankiv has a tshuva that's quoted, the Darkei tshuva. Darkei tshuva is by the Minkacher. The Minkacher had the Bachurim in the yeshiva do a whole project. He had a yeshiva. So he had all the boys in New Yeridea. So he had them, he divided up the pages in Yeridea and he assigned it to different Talmidim. And he had them do all the work to do research, look in all the Achrayim in the world, and make a likud. So that's what the Darkei Tshuva is. So they had one chavrusa had to do 2 pages and the other chavrusa did the next 2 pages. But that's why a lot of times in the Darkei Tshuva, you have the same comment repeated 5 times. on page 6, then on page 10, then on page 15, then on page 20, because each chavrusa wrote the comment on a different sif in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Munkat should put everything all together. And he has a lot of times cross references. Look what I wrote in Sif Katan Kuf Mem Zayin and Sif Katan Reish Gimel, and so on. He has a lot of repetitious things there. Anyway, so the Darkei Tshuva by the Minkat quotes this Mishkan Esyankin. Mishkan Esyankin says that a Miyot HaMotzi is 10% and above. He says that here in America, Rav Soloveitchik said that sirchas on the lungs that you can't, that is a treifus. He said he used to give a hechsher on the slaughterhouse in Boston, and he says he used to use a lot of coolers on the sirchas, and with all the coolers, he used to have 14% treifus. So that's 10% and above is called the Miyot HaMotzeh. Rav Yashiv thought you have to be machmer. Anything, I think, 7% to 7.5% and above. He said in the Medrash that the Ramban quoted that you have to be bodik for sirchas on the lungs, and it doesn't say you have to be bodik for all the ayin treifas, only sirchas, because, and the Ramban explained, because miyot amotzi, so the Rav Al Yashiv assumed the Medrash is probably written in Eretz Yisrael. We don't know, maybe it was not, but the Medrash is probably written in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael in recent years, in the last 150 years, they keep a record of how many animals turn out to have sirchas on the lungs. So it's only 7.5% or something like that. So if the, in the days of the Medrash, it was the same percentage that it is today, and the Medrash says that sirchas on the lungs is a Miyot HaMotzeh, so you see that 7% or 7.5% is considered the Miyot HaMotzeh. It doesn't have to be dafke 10%. So that's a serious shaila. What is the percentage that you need to be considered a Miyot HaMotzeh? Okay, so the Gemara here discusses, So miut hamotzi, you have to be choshish for the miut, or in kol atarukula, that's midirabana, but by sakana, shlucha mitzvah, ein and nizorkim, you don't have to worry about it, unless it's a miut hamotzi, then it's a din min haTorah. Then when it's a miut hamotzi by sakana, then you're mechuyev to be concerned about it. Then the Gemara also learns that from the pasuk, le'achbadish is sarzucho the misha ein lo karka, one who called out the mishish lo karka oil le regal, shein lo karka ein oil le regal. A person doesn't own property in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't own a house in Eretz Yisrael. He's not mechayev to do aliyah le regal because the pasuk says le'achbadish is sarzucho baloischa. So you see that the mitzvah only applies, so that's the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, that was the kasha that Tosfos earlier applies it to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So that's what the Mishnah Melech said. It's a pella. The Gemara only has that idea. Person who lives in Chutzlars, he doesn't own a house in Eretz Yisrael, is not mechuyev in Aliyah L'Regel, and never says that mechuyev in Korban Pesach. But that's what Tosfos added on. Okay. That the Gemara says about what's a makam shemachnis a macham, what's a makam shemachnis a macham. If there's a storage room where it's a common practice that in the middle of the meal, the shamus will go with the pas in his hand, a piece of bread in his hand, he's nibbling the challah. He may walk to the storage room to bring some more wine or to bring some more beer or to bring some more oil. So then it's called a makam shemachnis a macham. Okay. Then on the bottom, the Gemara happens to have a machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel had to translate the words of the Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said you only have to be bodek two rows. That's the top row facing the door, and the row below it, the top row and the row behind it. So it's a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. Usually we assume the halacha is like Rabbi and Issa v'Heter, the halacha is like Shmuel and Dini Mamre. This is Issa v'Heter. Should you really be halacha kerab? Many rishon and paskan halacha kerab. But in our Gemara, the last three words on the page on the afchesam and base are hilchus hakavasa d'shmol that we paskan like shmos akam. So many rishon and paskan like rab. So on the margin on the side, they quote b'kol haposkim rishon and machreinim who paskan like rab. Obviously, they didn't have this girsa hilchus hakavasa d'shmol. If the Gemara is telling it, then it's like shmol. How can they pass like rab? Either they had no girsa at all, or they had the girsa, Hilchas Kavasa de Rav. Usually, we pass like Rav, and Issa the Heter, and pass like Shmuel, and Dini Mamanis. Then we learned this fascinating sugya about Ein Safik Motze Midei Vadai. What is that all about? So what it means is the following. We have a klal, when you don't know what the facts of the case are, so yishtalav chazoka. Whatever it was yesterday, we assume that it's the same today. Unless you know bevadai that it changed. And a lot of times, if you don't know what the facts of the case are, so you assume, you go basarayv. You follow whatever the probability is. What if you have a conflict between the rayv and the chazoka? Chazoka kamaisa, status quo should lead you in one direction. And the rayv should lead you in the other direction. So that's a Gemara in Kiddushin, and the Kiddushin Machlokes, Rav Meir and Achachamim, the Gemara says. Rav Meir chayish lemiuta, so therefore Rav Meir holds miut kemande isei domi. So if miut kemande isei domi, then you have the right to say ruba v'chazoka, ruba odif, then it's shkulim, ruba v'chazoka shkulim. But we don't pass like Rav Meir, we pass kan loy chashin lemiuta, because we assume that the miut is kemande leisei domi. If you have a roiv, it's not a roiv of 51-49, a normal roiv 85-15. So then you say miut is commander leise dami. So therefore, whenever you have a ruba v'chazoka pulling in opposite directions, so we assume ruba v'chazoka ruba. If he would have held like Red Meir that miut commander ise dami and chashina le miuta, then we would have said ruba v'chazoka ashkulim. What exactly is the machlokes over here? Whether ruba v'chazoka ruba odif or ruba v'chazoka is shkulim? So the pashta says that we assume that roiv is a biru. Roiv is mevara the facts of the case. If you don't know what the facts are, you have the right to assume the facts correspond to what the roiv is. Chazoka is not mevara the facts of the case. For haraya, that sometimes you have rare cases where you follow chazoka even though it's a tied to the sasri. It's a dabshi epshalios, but still, that's the halacha that you follow chazoka. You learn it out from a pasuk. So, what do you do when you have a conflict between the roiv and the chazoka? So, the Pnei Yeshua in Ksubas and Daf Tesem and Aleph explains in the Kuntri Sachrin, in the text that Pnei Yeshua doesn't have it, has it at the end of the Mesichta when he used to chazer in the yeshiva. So when he would review, he would sometimes touch up some of the things that he said earlier and add to the Kuntra Sacha and things that he added after he finished learning the whole Masichta. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that Rav is a Mevara, Chazok is just a Din Hanhoge, how to be Nog when you don't know the facts of the case. Whenever you have a Ruba of a Chazoka, so Ruba Odev, because the Rav tells you what the facts are. So you don't use Din Hanhoge whenever you have a Bira. So that's the general machlek is Rav Meir and the Chacham. Rav Meir holds miut command the isei dami. Even if you have a roiv that's let's say 85% roiv and 15% of a miut, so the even if you have a roiv like 85%, there's still room to say that according to Rav Meir that roiv is only a din hanhoge. Rav is only a din hanhaga. So we paskin otherwise. We paskin miut. We assume against the Red Meir. We paskin like the Chachamim of the Red Meir. A miut command the leisei dami. Why do you mean command the leisei dami? We assume that Rav, even a 85% Rav that has a 15% miut against it, that's also called the birur. And so therefore, it should have been. Therefore, loichashin lemiuta, because it's a birur. Yeah. What if you have ruba v'chazoka? What if you have ruba v'chazoka? So that's what the Gemara calls over here. Ein safik motze midei vadai. If you have a roiv garua, then even the chachamim hold that a roiv garua is only a din hanhoge. So if you have Ruba Chazoka pulling in two different directions. The Rav pulls in one direction, the Chazoka pulls in another direction. So according to the, we would say that if it's a Rav Bari, then it's a Birur, then the Rav beats out the Chazoka. If it's a Rav Garua, then the Rav is also only a Din Hanhoge. So then it'll be Shkulim. You don't know whether to follow the Rav or to follow the Chazoka. So it's a Din Hanhoge contradicted by another Din Hanhoge. So it's a Sveik HaDina. Yeah, that's the machlokes over here. Rashi here on Tesam and Aleph quotes from Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph. Machlokes of Shimon by Choy and Achachamim, whether Akum are metamim ba'ohel. Akum, who is mace, is metame b'mago b'masa for sure. The question is he metame even ba'ohel? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. How do we paskin? So the Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon that Meisei Akum not metame ba'ohel. Tosis seems to accept la halacha the Chachamim's opinion that Meisei Akum not metame ba'ohel. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch it says that Kohanim should be careful not to go in Kivrei Akum. A Kohen shouldn't walk in a gracious cemetery. Why is that? So there are three different interpretations in the Shulchan Aruch. So one interpretation is that that even though we really pass like the Rambam, but we should be choshish for Shitas Balei HaTosfos, the Meisei Akum Amitami Ba'ol. So the Kohanim shouldn't walk in a gracious cemetery where they have all Meisei Akum, because the Meisei Akum really should be Machman, that they are Mitami Ba'ol. Another way to understand the Mechaber is not that it means to be choshish for Shitas Balei HaTosfos, but we know that there are always some Jews who converted to Christianity who will be buried in the Goyish cemetery. So the Jew who converted to Christianity is still Jewish and is still Metami Ba'ohel. If he would have been born a Nochri, then we say, Meisei Akum Ana Metami Ba'ohel. But he was born a Jew and then he converted, so we say he's still Jewish and he's still Metami Ba'ohel. So that's the second explanation that they give. Not that you have to be machma for shita santesis, the meisei akum amitami ba'ol, but you have to be concerned that maybe there's a mishumad who is buried there in the goyishes. Usually there will be a shumad, a mishumad or two, buried Jews who are buried in the goyishes cemetery. And then there's a third suggestion that there's room to argue the point and say, even though meisei akum are not mitame ba'ohel, maybe the prohibition of the koin and nefesh leitama biyamov, even though it sounds like it's a prohibition not to be metame, even though the pasuk sounds like a nefesh leitame b'yam of the coin is not allowed to be metame to a mace, then maybe it's labdafke. Maybe the prohibition really means you're not allowed to be in contact with a mace, even if it's in such a way that it's not going to be metame you. That's a question. So even though may say akum anat mitami ba'ol, maybe the coin is still in violation of coming in contact with a mace, even though he didn't become tummy. So those are the three ways to understand the mechaber. The simple pshat in the mechaber is that he's choshish for the shita's balei ha'tesis. That the balei ha'tesis paskan like yochad v'rab malachi karam, they paskan like the rabban of the Rab Shimon Vaychoi. Why should he paskan like Rab Shimon Vaychoi? Yeah. So first the Gemara, what does Rashi quote this whole story from? Because the Gemara first quotes a Mishnah Naholos, that Maduras Ha'akum Tmeim, if a Nochri lived in an apartment for a short period of time, how long does he have to live in the apartment? So it says, Arba'im Yom, 40 days. Why 40 days? That's Kedei Yetziras Avlat. Why? Even if the Nochri is single, we concern the Nochrim HaChashudim Anznus. So maybe he made his girlfriend pregnant, and maybe she was mapal of lad after 40 days into her pregnancy. And if Anisha has a nafel within 40 days, if you consider it maya bialma. If a woman gives birth to a vlad or a nafel, a nafel is going to be a stillborn. Woman loses a child after 40 days of pregnancy, then we are concerned maybe. If the Nefil had a Tzuris Avlad, maybe the Nefil had a Tzuris Avlad. There's no Tzuris Avlad before 43, 44 days, something like that. So if it's before 40 days, it's my Bialma. So the whole thing is a bucket full of blood. So Dam and Anida is Metame. That's Dam and Amoker over there. But if the woman was pregnant for more than 40 days, 43, 44 days, then maybe she was pregnant, and then the thing may be a nefel, and it'll either be mitami ba'ol, if you hold like the Rabbana, the Reb Shimon, that Meisi Akma Metami Bo, or at least Metami Bo Maga Memasa. The Mishnah Melech quotes an opinion from the Ireim, the Sefer Ireim, Barab Lezen Emitz, of Balatesis, that if you hold Meisi Akma not Metami Bo Ohel, like Reb Shimon, so Kohanim are permitted to be Metamei to Meisei Akam even B'maga B'masa. Well, we don't pass like that. We say Maga Masa for sure is also why. Because the Kohanim are only forbidden to be Metamei L'Meisei Adam. They're allowed, they're permitted to be Metamei to Niblas Behema. They're permitted to become Tamei to one of the Shemana Shvatz Mahamur and Bator, one of the eight rodents. Tzav HaChelet V'ach V'atzav L'Minei V'anoka V'atin Shamas and so on, the eight rodents. He's permitted to be metame to the rodents, permitted to be metame to the day. He's just not allowed to be metame to Meis Adam. But if you're Meis Akam and not metame ba'ohel, so it's a different din. So then the Ireim holds that the Kohen would be permitted to be metame to the Meis Akam even by Magam and Masa. We don't assume like that. We assume Shulchan Aruch, the Kohen is not allowed, if you're sure, he's not allowed to be metame to Meis Akam by Magam and Masa, because it's metame by Magam and Masa. And ba'ohel when machmer. Whatever the Hesper is, Boel when Machmer shouldn't come in contact. So that's what the Gemara quotes. This Mishnah Naholis, Madura Sakama Tameim. Why? Because even though the Falafa Pishain Loisha, he's single. His single father, Chashudim. Then Olachat Nochem Chashudim Alaznus. So maybe he made his girlfriend pregnant, and maybe she lost the pregnancy. So if he lives in the apartment for more than 40 days, maybe there was a nafel of more than 40 days there, which has a din of tumah. So that's what this chumr is based on. Unless the Mishnah says, "Chamakim shechulda chulda v'chazir yicholam lahalech ein tzrichim bedika." Yeah. So first the Gemara thought that Chuldo Bardalis Mitsuyim Yichodam La Hamak Chuldo Bardalis Yichodam La Halach. Why is Ainit Sarach Bidiki? Because it's a Raiv. First the Gemara thought that it's a Raiv Garua. First the Gemara thought that it's a Raiv Garua. That's going to be a discussion. Yeah, so you go Basarayv. So you go Basarayv, and if Chuldo and Balas are there, they probably ate up whatever Nafel would be there. Yeah. If it would have been Avada here, the Gemara is Mandayak Ar Mishnah. Echashishim Shemagiru Chuldo Mibais Lebais Dim Kain Ein Ledova Sof. So you only ein chashim shemegira chulda. But what if I was by the comets in a house, and I say a chulda brings a bagel from one apartment to this apartment that it was just baidik. I don't know if the chulda left it there or ate up the whole thing. So there have to be baidik all over again. So the Gemara says from the diuk and the Mishnah, it sounds like ein chashim shemegira chulda. A bagel mi makam la makam mikain ein ledaba sof. But if you know bevada de gira, then you would be mechuyev to be baidik all over again. So the Gemara says, why? But the Mishnah assumes there in a holos that kol makam shechulda v'chazir yichodem lahalach ain't tzrichem bedika, because they probably ate it up. So the Gemara says, yeah, there you don't know bevadai that there was an eifel. It's a possibility. Maybe there was an eifel. Maybe there was an eifel. And maybe the chulda v'chazir ate it up. So it's sort of, you have a sfex faker, so that's why you make them. But over here, if you know bevadai that the chulda was girura mimakam lamakam, so you know bevadai that there's a cheskas chometz here, you know bevadai the chulda brought chometz into this apartment. So then the Mishnah makes it clear that you cannot rely on the chulda eating up the bagel. Why does it make a difference? So the Gemara says, even though it's a raiv, right, Pam and the chulda will eat it up, But it's only a roiv. So ruba v'chazoka, if it's only a roiv garua, ruba v'chazoka are shkulim. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Is that really true? That the ruba v'chazoka are shkulim, that's called ain't suffering b'etzim levad, that you don't apply the rule of ruba v'chazoka, ruba adef, whenever it's a roiv garua. So they quote from the Brisa of Chavish and Meis, in the days of the Tanaim, towards the end of the Baisheni period, the Gemara, the last Mishnah in Soita records, and the last daf in Soita, the Gemara has it, the Tanaim instituted the system of a Chavir and an Am Ha'aretz, that even though in the Torah, Eidech and Em B'Sur, a person seems to be observant a little bit, and he tells me that it was Mafish Trumas and Meis, so I can take his word for it. But Midirabban made a takana, whoever is an Amoritz has no nemonis, that is Mafrish Trumas and Mises, because they were Baidic, and they found that Rav Amoritz are Ma'asrin, but there was a Miut who were not Ma'asrin. So they made a takana at that time, that whatever you buy from an Amoritz, you have to be Mafrish Mises. Truma, you don't have to be Mafrish, because they were all careful to be Mafrish Truma. That they weren't going to start up with. They weren't going to fool around with that. But my submission, they're not all mafresh. So that's why they made a takona, yeah. The achover means one is a mekabel dibichaveris in the presence of the bezin of three Jewish people. So you commit yourselves. The person is mekabel chaveris. He commits himself to observe how precious trimus and maestris strictly. So that's the din over here, chavish ameis. V'yiniach megura malei peris. He has in his house a whole storage bin full of fruits and vegetables, even if he just brought them home yesterday, even if everything is b'nei yayman, and he died. He brought it home, and a few hours later, he dies, unless he was mamish sick from the morning. But if he wasn't sick, he was functioning. We assume chazok, this aruba d'leis kama chazok al chaver, that he certainly would be medaktik to be mafrish the trumas and maises.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
We were talking about Sveik Sveika the other day. Would this be a Sveik Sveika of Nishem Achad?
This is not a Sveik Sveika of Nishem Achad, no. There's one Sveik, is it Tevel? Maybe he brought it in. Which one? Which one are we talking about? The Meduris Ha'akum?
Or the Nephil.
No, that's Shnei Shemus. Maybe there's no Nephil at all. And even if there is a Nephil, maybe the animals ate it up. So that's two different Stodim Lahokel. Maybe there never was any Tumim. And even if there was Tumim, even if there was a Nephil, we don't know. The guy's single. And even if he's married, all the women are always getting pregnant all the time. Not so. Once in a month, they get pregnant. So this is Mishnei Shemus. No, this is a Sveik Sveik Mishnei Shemus. This is a good Sveik Sveik, yeah. Yeah. So the Gemara has this braisa, Chavish HaMeis V'yiniach Megura Malei Aper, Afila Heim B'nei Yayman, even if the day that he died, that's when he brought it into the house. He didn't have so many hours to be Mafrish. Shemus HaMeisa, we assume that he was Mafrish, because there's a Ruba D'Lei Sekama. So first the Gemara thought that the pears that he brings into his home of Arai Tevel, everything that grows in Eretz Yisrael's Tevel, and then it's only a roiv garua, that it's not what, it's such a good roiv, such a gewaldige roiv, that first thing Gemara thought it's a roiv garua, so it should have been ruba v'chazoka should be shkulim. So how come you say that you're allowed to eat, everything is b'cheskas misukonim? The Gemara gives two answers. So one answer they say is that it is a roiv bari. It's not a roiv gora. It's a vaday uvaday. The vaday ma'asi k'derab chanina. Chazak halchav chazak means that it's a strong roiv. It's a roiv bari. Chazak halchav shemot mitachseor dav sheni mesukan. It's a roiv bari. It's a roiv bari beats out a chazak heches kasisa. And then the Gemara gives the boy same. Another answer is we're not so convinced that it's becheskas tevel. Maybe he brought it into the house. Derech, how does the Gemara say? Chnisa b'motshala. Maybe if you didn't have a rias, first you have to have miruach, and then you have rias b'nei abayis. And if you don't do it in the right order, then it's not going to be tevel deraisa. It's not going to be tevel deraisa. It'll be tevel midirabbanan. Tevel midirabbanan means if you didn't have miruach and riyas b'nei abayis, you're not allowed to eat the tevel achilas keva. Achilas aroi, you're allowed to eat achilas behemas. Even if the behema eats a ton of it, we always label achilas behemas achilas aroi. But midirabbanan made a din. Even if you didn't have miruach and riyas b'nei abayis, you're not allowed to eat the tevel achilas keva. So the Gemara sounds as if it says with respect to the Issa de Rabbanon that you're not allowed to eat any tevel, achilas keva. So Rav Garua is also good. Ruba v'chazoka, the Roy beats out the chazoka. Or you say it's shkulim ruba chazoka shkulim, and you say it's only a suffix the rabbanon lekuli you can be make. But if you're talking about real tevel deraisa, if he wasn't machnisa b'motshalo, if first he did the miruach and then he did the rias pnei abayis, if it's real tevel deraisa, then the Gemara says according to the second suggestion, ibay sema. First suggestion was that it's a roi bari. Second suggestion was maybe it's taka roib garua, but with respect to eating achilas keva, that's only an issa derabbanan not to eat tevel achilas keva, even though it's before miruach and riyas pnei abayis. Then you say even a roib garua is good, and with respect to the din deraisa, it's not that the chazok, it's not that the roib garua is contradicting a chazok of this. We don't know that it's b'cheska sisa. Maybe it was never tevel deraisa in the first place. Maybe he was machnisa b'motshalo. Yeah. So that's what the Tosis points that out. That even though ruba v'chazoka, if it's a roiv garua, then you don't say ruba adif, but if the whole issue was only an issue derabbanon, a tevel derabbanon, then you see from the Gemara that you do have the right to be mekel. Yeah, what's the story? If you have tevel, you're not allowed to feed it to the animals. That's what it says b'feirish. Behem to acheles, when the behema eats, that's called achilas aroi. But if something is really tevel deraisa, then you're not allowed to feed it to the behemas. Why not? I think Gemara is going to have, we started the second perek. So the second perek gives you a whole discussion, which macholas hasuras arosa banor, which amuta banor. So the Gemara says, it says, true maschem, here, achov gimla mer aleph, around 11 lines from the top, they're quoting Bamidbar chapter Yudches. Nech shalachem true maschem shalachem tehei. The truma is mutabano, and tevel is mutabano. The Gemara says that tevel is mutabano. So if tevel is mutabano, like nevel is mutabano, so it says you're allowed to feed elakelab tashlichan also, because the treifa is mutabanos, so you're permitted to feed it to your animal. If it would have been osabanos, to feed it to the animal would constitute a violation of isurano. So the here it says, if you have a real tevel deraisa, you're not allowed to feed it to your animals. Machila lebemta is an isa. Why? But tevel is mutabano. So why is it also to feed it to the animal? So that's what Tesis comes up with, the Chiddush. Ano shal kili is awesome. If I have, let's say, a sack of tevel and instead of sitting on the floor, I'd rather sit on top of the sack. I want to sit on an elevated platform. It's better for my back to sit on a chair rather than to sit on the floor. So then tevel is mutabano. But to feed the tevel to your behema, that it should become consumed without being mafresh shum esamayt, that's called hanor shel kilui. So tevel is also hanor shel kilui. That's what Tosis points out. Kedesh dehei behema ocheles. The Mishnah Melech has a long essay, and he quotes that it's a big debate and Rishonim is either din deraisa or din derabbanan, that tevel is also ba'anor shel kilu. Tosis presents it as if it's a real din deraisa. I learned that from a pasuk. Yishlamed darshinu b'madlikin. It's based on the drasha. Shtei trumas hakasim medaber truma torah truma tamei lechbar mishasam rom avielach a whole yalfusa. Tosis presents it as if it's a real din deraisa. But the Mishnah Melech quotes that there are other Rishonim who hold that so. Hold that Hanor Shel Kili of Tevel is only the Rabbanan. Then the Gemara has a story a woman had a stillborn baby, and they threw their baby in a pit. Etila lebor. Maisa b'shevchasa shel meitzegecha berimaim sheitila neifel lebor. Yeah, but you have to know who. The question is, whose nefel was it? Was the shivcha's nefel? She was a shivcha kneinis, and you see from this gemara that a shivcha kneinis has tumas yoledes. We just have to know, was it a baby boy, baby girl? If it's a baby girl, then the may tuma are 14 days. She can't be tovel in a mikveh before 14 days. If it's a baby boy, then the may tuma is only 7 days, and she can go to the mikveh at the end of the 7 days. So that's what the Kohen came, but he leaned over to look into the boy to try to see from a distance, can he guess, can he ascertain whether it's a baby boy, a nafel of a baby boy, a baby girl. If it's a baby girl, it's Yudal Yemei Tumah. Baby boy is Zayin Yemei Tumah. Yeah, was that Kedin? That the Kohen is allowed to be metame to the nafel for the purpose of being Mavar, whether it's a Zohar Nekeva. So Tosis writes on the bottom of Amud Aleph, I'm going to read the last four lines. The Kohen Shaita Hoya. He was Shaita. It doesn't mean he's a moron. Chayav Shaita Bekat means that he did Shaloi Kedin. Tosis means he did Shaloi Kedin. He didn't follow the halacha. Why? Because the Kohen is only metamit to the Zayin Krovim if the person was born alive and he lived for a while and then he died. But if it's a Nefel, it was born, a stillborn child, it was born like that. So there's a drasha in the Torah's Kohanim, in the Sifra, that Dumi do Avivim Abina, B'nei Kayama. The parents couldn't be in the Nephilim. If the parents would be a Nephil, then they wouldn't have had a child. So obviously they're not a Nephil. So on a Nephil, you're not Mitami, even though it's one of the Zankarit Ma'od. Then Tosis has a Chiddush. It's a question if it's correct. Shulchan Aruch, they quote this last line in Tosis. And Tessim and Avi, oh, Dikan the Hoy Litzorach Hameis. The only time the Kohen is Mentami to design Kravim is Litzorach Kvures Hameis. If it's not Litzorach Kvures Hameis, you're not allowed to. Let's say a Kohen has yard site for a parent. They wants to go to the cemetery. So they usually bury their relatives of the Kohen near the edge of the cemetery. So the Kohen will be able to come on the outside of the cemetery. He can't walk within the din. Minatora, the din is that a Mace is Mentami B'maga Masa B'ohel. But if it's none of the three above Tuma, no Maga, no Masa, no Ohel, just like within Dalaramas, that's only a Chumim with the Rabbanan. Why did they make such a Chumim with the Rabbanan? The Kohen may wave his hand on top of the mace without realizing that he was Mahil on top of the mace. There are three kinds of Ohel. You put your hand over the mace, or you're sitting here outside, no roof on top. You're sitting outside. Somebody carries a mace directly above you. The mace is mahel on you. Are you a mahel on the mace? And then what we usually call ohel is called ohel hamshoch. I'm in one end of the room. The mace is in the other end of the room. And we're both under the same roof. That's called ohel hamshoch. So Kohanim, usually the relatives of Kohanim are buried at the edge of the cemetery. So when the Kohen, if the Kohen wants to go visit the cemetery on the yard side, he can't walk within Dalaramas. He has to stand Dalaramas away. He has to stand Dalaramas away. Unless there's a fence around, let's say there's a funeral home. There used to be a funeral home in the Bronx, and all the buses, all the people would walk right by in the front. So Kohanim can walk, even if the mace is in the room, right on it was a brick wall. Even if the mace is right inside and the Kohen is walking outside, Toch Dal Ramas, because the wall is not Dal Ramas thick, the wall is not an Amma thick, not so thick. So the Kohanim are permitted to walk Toch Dal Ramas if there's a wall mafsik, because the whole din, you're not allowed to come within Dal Ramas of the mace, or it'll be metame you, because they may by mistake put your hand over the mace, you won't realize that you're tame. So whenever you're within Dalai Lama's, they declare that you're tame. But if there's a wall that's mafsik, so you can't put your hand through the wall, unless there's a window there. But if there's a wall without a window, then you can't put your hand. Then the gzera doesn't apply. So they quote this in Shulchan Aruch, that the Kohen is only permitted to be metame le mace when it's letzorach gvuras ha-mace. on Shabbos we never do a kfura, so it says in the Ramo, a kohen is not allowed to mem in the same oil ames of a relative of his, the Zayin Kroiver. He's not allowed to be an oil ames on Shabbos because we don't do kfuras on Shabbos. So he can't say that it's a tzorach ha-kfura. Yeah, that's the this line of thesis is the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Kohen is only metamed to the Zayin Kroiver if it's tzorach kfura. Yeah. If it's one of the seven relatives, we assume that there's a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, in three psukim. Rabbi Akiva holds that the three psukim are achoyf, and Rabbi Shmuel says that it's rishus. So one pasuk is lo yitama. It says if the kohen's sister died, chos ha-psula shalohoy salish, lo yitama. Rabbi Shmuel says he's permitted to attend the funeral if he so chooses. Rabbi Akiva says, no, he's mechuyf to attend the funeral. If he doesn't want to, matamen osa bal korcha, we force him to be metame to the Zayin Kroiver, because it's a chayva. So that's one of the three psukim. Then the other pasuk is le'olamem tavoidu. It says when you have an eved ivri, you have to set him free when it comes sheish, when you had him for 6 years. When the 6 years are up, you have to set him free. Whatever the 6 years happen to be up, you bought him on Zayin Adar, you have to free him on the end of Vav Adar. You can't hold him on Zayin Adar. You have to let him go free after the 6 years are up. So the eved ivri goes free either b'sheish or b'yovel, yom kippur shel yovel, whatever comes first. But an eved k'nainen says le'olamem tavoidu. So Rabbi Shmuel says means if you want to, you have the right to keep the eved k'nainen le'olam void. You don't have to let him go free, not b'sheish and not b'yovel. And we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, lo yitam is a choyva, m'shachar avda oiva b'esei. You're not permitted to be m'shachar your eved k'nainen. Eved ivri, you are permitted to m'shachar eved k'nainen, you're not allowed to. And the third pasuk is by Soita. It says, "Vavala b'rachkina v'kini es ishtai." So Bishmol says, "Rishus." If the husband warned his wife, "Altistri and mishplani," if he gave a hasra, that's called kinui. Stira means when she was misacheres with plani, and kinui means when the husband warns her, "Altistri and mishplani." So when the Torah says, "Vavala b'rachkina v'kini es ishtai," Rabbi Shmol says, if it happened like that, but it's not a chiyuv, it's not a mitzvah to warn. If you think there's something fishy going on, then your wife and someone else, there's no mitzvah that you should warn her. You're not mechuyev to say anything. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's a chayva. Kinyas ishta is a chayva. It's a mitzvah to warn your wife. If you think that she may be doing something improper with someone else, and she's married to you, then you have to warn her. So those are the three psukim that, according to Rabbi Akiva, are chayva. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, they're rishus. So that's that chayva, the kohen is mechuyev to mimetame, to design kroivim. The Gemara says in Brochus, there's a whole sugya of kavod abrius. That's the mocker of the institution of kavod abrius. There's even a din of kavod abrius to dead bodies, to living people. There's a bigger chayv of kavod abrius. He's alive, he has tzelem alekim now. Kavod abrius based on the assumption that every man was created with tzelem alekim. But Yisrael have even a higher madrega with Bonim Lamokim, so there's a bigger chiyuv of Kavod Abiyas. But there's a din of Kavod Abiyas to me. Akum also, the Akum are created in Tzelem Alekim. Yeah. That pasuk is the Lo Yitama, that mitzvah is the mocker of the institution of Kavod Abiyas. And according to the Rambam and the Rif, who follow the Geonim and the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo Paskins like that, they hold that when someone dies and the relatives have to observe Shiva for 7 days, observance of Shiva the first day, Avelus Yom Rishon, is deraisa. Where is there a pasuk that says you have to observe? The pasuk says that Mishim Meisim Mutal Lefonav Lachal to be Oni Mimenu, and Oinen is not allowed to eat Maisu Sheni, and Kavacham is not allowed to eat Kochim. But where does it say that you have to observe Havelus over the death of the person? So the Rambam said, this is the mocker. This, the Rambam writes, Kam chamurihi mitzvah Havelus. Look how chomer the mitzvah of Havelus is, on the assumption that Havelus Yom Rishon is the Raisa. Shenitches miponeho isa tumas koyhanim. Since the kohen is mechuyev to be metame to the Zayin Kroivim, even though kohanim generally are not allowed to be metame lemesim, but is mechuyev to be metame to the Zayin Kroivim, so the Rambam says that that's b'toras nihug avelus, the fact that the kohen is matame. That's a form of nihug avelus. So that shows that avelus, at least for the first day, is a real din derais. Avelus Yom Rishon is a din derais. So what happened over here? The Kohen leaned over. Bo Kohen behitzes bo. He leaned over from on top of the bar to see whether it was a zachar and a keva. And then the shaila was whether the Kohen became tummy. Bo Mai said, and he didn't see there was no nefil. There was nothing there. So what happened to the nefil? Either they ate it up, either there was chuldo or bardalis, either they ate it up, or they pulled the giraruhu, or they pulled it into a boar on the side, so that by his leaning over the boar, he was no longer metame, because the mace wasn't there anymore. But my son of Nechon, then she hold the balas mitzuim sham. I, but it's a ruba v'chazok, and it's only a roiv garua, it's such a good roiv, such a roiv bari, that the chuldo bardalis ate up the nefil, that the chuldo bardalis pulled it away. The two girsas here, the way we have the girsa and the gemara, the roiv only is that the chuldo bardalis pulled it away giraru, not the rachluhu. Taisus suggested the end of the first taisus, Adyesh Leimar, giraru v'achlu. Taisus had a different girsa and the gemara. Shema giraru, there's a roiv that giraru v'achlu. Maybe they ate it up. So the Gemara asks, how can you rely on the Raiva Giraruhu, the Raiva Giraruhu Yachlu, whatever the Raiv is? But it's only, the Gemara thought it's only a Raiv Garua, and we know for sure that there was an Eiffel. We know for sure there was an Eiffel. So how can you rely on a Raiv Garua? So the Gemara says, no, maybe the Maisa Shoy was, Itilu Kemin Eiffel Abor. The woman, something came out of her body, and she asked the Shifcha of the Meitzik, she asked the Shifcha, throw it out in the bor, dispose of it. So it's not a Vaday Nefil. Maybe it didn't have a Tzuris Avlad. Maybe it didn't have a Tzuris Avlad. Begins to develop around the 43rd, 44th day. Maybe it didn't have a Tzuris Avlad. So whenever there's no Chazokah contradicting the Roiv Garua, then the Roiv Garua is good. When it's a contradiction, then you say that the Roiv Garua is only a Din Hanhoge, and Chazaka is only a Din Hanhoge. So it's a Din Hanhoge contradicting another Din Hanhoge, so it's Shkudim. So it's a Sveik Adina. But if you have a Roiv Garua and there's no, it's a Sofik Nefil, you don't know whether it's a Vadei Nefil. So Roiv Garua is good, just when it's in contradiction to a Chazaka. If it was a Vadei Nefil, and the Roiv Garua tells you that it was Giraruhu, so Rav Garua is only a Din Hanhoge, and Cheskas Tumah is a Din Hanhoge. So it's a Din Hanhoge contradicting another Din Hanhoge. So then it's a Suffolk. Then there shouldn't be Makom. Then it'll be a Suffolk. Yeah, here the top Taisis raises a whole discussion. Where was the coin standing when he leaned over the bar? Is it a Safik Tuma Bishus HaYochid? Is it a Safik Tuma Bishus HaRabim? Right. The din is that a Safik Tuma Bishus HaYochid Sveikai Tomei, even if you have a Svek Sveik Alohokel. And a Safik Tuma Bishus HaRabim, even though there's no Svek Sveik, it's only one Safik is already Lohokel. Safik Tuma Bishus HaRabim were Mekel, and Safik Tuma Bishus HaYochid were Machmer, even if it's a Svek Sveik. So that's Tosis' problem over here. What does the Gemara say? That it's a Svek Svek, Shema Nefil Hitila, Shema Ruach Hitila. Maybe it wasn't even a Nefil. And even if it was a Nefil, Shema Gira Ruhu. So Tosis asks, but if you're in Rishus HaYochid, so the Mishnah says, Beferish, you go Lechumre, even if there is a Svek Svek. And if it's a Rishus HaRabim, then you don't need a Svek Svek. That's Tosis' cash over here. The Tosis works on that kash. Okay. Yeah, we mentioned on Amud Aleph that the Gemara says Kadesh Tehei Behemto Ocheles. That if you have tevel, anything that grows on Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, the mafish, shumas, and maises. If it's royal achilas adam, if you have hay that's not achilas and not maichel adam, see, and I'm chayiv to be mafish, shumas, and maises on hay because the horses eat hay. But whatever is royal achilas adam, even if you want to feed it to the behemoths, you need our precious shumas and maises. Otherwise, it'll be an oshal kilui, which is either asim and atorah or asim and derabbanan on tevel. Fine. So the Gemara says, In our Torah, the Issa Tevel only begins after Miruach and Rias Pnei Abayis in that order. And if even if you didn't do Rias Pnei Abayis, even if you didn't do Miruach, so then there's a din that the Tevel is awesome midirabbanan b'achilas keva. So we raised an issue. It's a din de rabbanan that it's awesome. So usually called the tikkun rabbanan came there as a tikkun. So what do they pattern this after? Let's say basa b'cholav deraisa is also banor. Basa b'cholav derabbanan, chicken and milk, or if it wasn't derech bishul, not bishul b'klisheni, so then it's basa b'cholav derabbanan. So basa b'cholav derabbanan is only also achilas keva. No, it's also achilas haroi also. So why is over here? By the tevel derabbanan, why do they make it only also achilas keva? And achilas beim is called achilas haroi, so it's mutter. But it does make sense. They should have made it. They called it Tikkun Rabbanan Kane. There I said Tikkun Tevel is us, even Achilas Haroi. So Rav Soloveitchik said over there's a Pirish HaMishnayis LaHaRambam on Maseches Trumas, but the Rambam explains this is Kane. There I said Tikkun. The Din Min HaTorah that the only forbidden to eat Tevel after Miruach and Rias Pnei Abayis, that's because we consider whatever you eat before Miruach and Rias Pnei Abayis is arbitrarily declared as achilas haroi. Whatever you eat after miruach and rias pnei abayis is all considered achilas keva. So that's the nature of the issa deraisa. Why is the din deraisa depend dafke on miruach and rias pnei abayis? Because only whatever you eat after miruach and rias pnei abayis is called achilas keva. So that's the kain deraisa over here. That is the din deraisa itself. Interesting pirush haMishnayis LaHaRambam. Yeah. Then the Gemara on Amud Beis. The Gemara on Amud Beis starts giving Piske Halochas. One case after the other, and they tell you in each case what they think the din is. Where's the Rashi? Teisha Tziburim, Rashi de Mamascha, Teisha Tziburim, on Tess on the base, Rashi writes, this guy aloha saying, one case after the other, they're not going to give so much analysis, they're just going to tell you, Bikitsa, what the aloha is. So what does it say? Teisha Tziburim shall matzav echad shall chametz, well, as achba v'shokal, le'adinani, matzav shokal, v'chametz shokal, if not al b'faneinu, so we have a din. If someone murders someone else, so the Ritzech is Chai Misa. So the Pasuk says, V'arav loy v'kamalov. He waits in hiding, he ambushes the fellow, and he murders him. So why does he have to say, V'arav loy v'kamalov? So the Gemara says, there's a machloike satanoim. What if Niskaven laharagas Reuven v'haragas Shimon? He wanted to murder one person, and accidentally he murdered the wrong person. So that's a machloike satanoim. So the Samachlik is the Rambam and the Raibit had a Paskan. So the Rambam Paskan is like the Tana Reb Shimon, that Niskav and Laharagaz Evaharagaz is Potter. And the Raibit asked, why should he Paskan? Yochid Varam Malachi Kiram. Why does he Paskan like Reb Shimon? Why doesn't he Paskan like the Chachamim? So Reb Shimon gets his din from this Paskan. V'arav loy become malav ashi iskav and loy. That's what it says in the Chumash. That the Niskav and Laharagaz Evaharagaz is going to be Potter. So Machloik is the Rambam and the Raibit if he Paskin like that. So the Gemara raises the question, according to the Rabban and the Reb Shimon, that you don't need Achi Iskav and Loi. So why does the Chumash give you that mistaken impression? Or of Loi become a Loi. The Gemara says, Prat Lizarek Evan Lego, Gimel Vav, go. There are 10 people standing there. And I know one of them, I don't know who's who, I can't see from a distance, I'm over here. And the 10 people at the end of the block, and I know that group of 10 are 9 Yisraelim and 1 is a Nochri. There's no heter to kill. You're not permitted to murder a Nochri, but the Torah says you're not Chayiv Misa. If one kills a Yisrael, you're Chayiv Misa. If you kill a Nochri, you're not Chayiv Misa. So let's say I'm shooting a gun and I want to shoot the 10 people there. I want to shoot the one at the end, the one with the red sweater. I want to shoot him. So the witnesses don't know who's who, but they warned me, the odds are 9-1 that you're going to be killing Esau, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. So is that called the Hasra Zvadai, or is that called the Hasra Sofik? So the Gemara says, V'orav loy v'kom alov, does not, according to the Rabbana, the Rav Shimon, it does not tell you, Niskam lahar gazeh bahar gazeh is not chayiv. No, Niskam lahar gazeh bahar gazeh is chayiv. But V'orav v'kom alov tells you, Prat l'zorek even l'go, that since they're all standing still, I say, Kol kavua kemachza amachza dami, and even though the odds are 9-1, we declare that the odds are 50-50. If you have a roiv and a miut, and the miut is nikar bimkoma, I'm at the end of the block, I can't identify who's who. I can't see so well. It's such a long, far away, such a long block. If I would be over there in the other corner, I'd be able to identify who's who. We'd be able to figure out who's who. So if the miut is kavua bimkoma, standing still, and it's nikar bimkoma, we know what it is. And so then you don't say the odds are 9-1, even though that's what it seems to be. The halacha says prat lazorek even ago that then it's considered a hasra sofik. Kol kavua kemachza machza dami. I consider it as if it's 50-50. And it's 50-50, then it's a hasra sofik, and hasra sofik is no good. Yeah, that's a question. Hasra sofik is a machlokes Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish, whether it's good or no good. And the Rambam paskens Hasra Sofik is good. So how come all of a sudden over here, Kol Kavua Kamachza Machza Damin, it's a Hasra Sofik. But Hasra Sofik is good. So the Nadi Behuda wants to distinguish between Misa and Malkus. When does the Rambam pasken like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, the two girsas, what Rabbi Yochanan said, what Reish Lakish said, two girsas in the Gemara. So the Rambam's girsa was that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hasra Sofik is good. Hasra Sofik is good. So the Nadi Behuda, his son-in-law, has a dvartar at the end of the Tshuvas, one of the two volumes of the Tshuvas of the Nadi Behuda. He has the shtickle turn in the Rambam. He says the Rambam splits between Misa and Malkus. By Malkus, he paskens like Rabbi Yochanan Hasra Sofik Shema Hasra. But by Misa, the din would be that Hasra Sofik is no good. That's really problematic because the Gemara seems to put it together. The Gemara, the Babli with the Yerushalmi, they all put it together. The Shaila whether Hasra Sofik Shema Hasra or not applies. A woman remarried within 3 months, a woman who gets divorced or the husband dies, is not allowed to marry for 92 days. Tzadik Beit Yom of Havchona. The 90 days, 90 full days in between the day on which the husband divorced her and the day on which she marries the new husband. So you have to have 90 full days. That's Havchona Tzadik Beit Yom. Why? In order to know if she'll have a baby after she marries the second husband, we may not know, is this the father of the baby is the first husband or the second husband? First husband was a kohen. Second husband can't be a kohen. She's a grusha. Second husband is a levi or Yisrael. Or you want to know whose Yerusha does he get? Does he yarshin the first husband or the second husband? So that's why they made a din midrabbanan, even though they have an asmachta from a pasuk, but it's not a din gomer. It's only an asmachta midrabbanan. That's what it says in Ebenezer, that you need havchana, that a woman shouldn't remarry. So the Mishnah has a din. What if the woman did marry within 3 months and she has a baby? You don't know whether the father of the baby is the first husband or the second husband. And the child is going to be hikazeh b'chazeh hikazeh. The child becomes by mitzvah. And there's a din, maka over the ima is chayv misa. Mekalal over the ima is chayv misa. So he hits one of them. He hits one of the two possible fathers. You don't know whether husband number one is his father, husband number two. So the witnesses warn him, don't hit the man. It may turn out that he's your father and you'll be chayv misa. That's a suffix. And then he's about to hit the second one. So they warn him, don't hit the second husband. Don't hit your mother's second husband. It may turn out that that's your father. We don't know. So he kazeh v'chazeh v'hikazeh, or kilol zeh v'chazeh v'kilol zeh. So there, the Gemara puts it together, the shayla of Hasra Safik by Malkus and Hasra Safik by Misa, the Bavli with Yerushalmi, they always put it together. So that's problematic Rambam. Why the Rambam splits between Misa and Malkus? It sounds from the Rambam that only by Hasra Safik by Malkus, he says you get Malkus. Hasra Safik by Misa, you don't get. You don't get the Misa. So that's the din. Prat lazorek even lego. I throw an even. I'm dropping a boulder, let's say, from the 10th floor. I'm going to drop a heavy boulder on someone's head. And there's a group of 10 people. The odds are 9-1 that I'm going to kill a Yisrael. If you kill a Nochri, it's also an Aver, but you're not Chayim Misa. If you kill a Yisrael, you're Chayim Misa. So since all the people are standing still, no one is moving, So we say kol kavua kemachza machza domi, and it's 50-50. So it's a hasra safik. So hasra safik is lav shmo hasra. Yeah. So that's the shaila. But the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Shimon that niskaven lahar gazav har gazav es potter. So where did Rabbi Shimon figure this din out from? He got it from that pasuk. You are of love become malava. She is common law. So according to the Rambam, how do you know that there's a din of prat lazarik evan lego? How do you know this whole institution of kol kavua kamachza machza dami? A very strange din. Learned that from a pasuk achoik. Kol kavua kamachza machza dami. So the Ran on Sanhedrin raises the issue, and that daf in Sanhedrin where this whole discussion appears. Where does it say ayin tes? On daf ayin tes, Rashi quotes it. The perik tes, the Sanhedrin daf ayin tes on the base, kein tzorch lios in the correction on the side of Rashi. So the chiddush Ran over there raises the issue. So he says somehow the Rambam holds that you learn out two dinim from the same pasuk, even though the two dinim are so different. The skabim laharag hazeh v'harag hazeh is chayev, and the pasuk that sounds like it says pater really means kol kavua kemachza machza dami. Kol kavua kemachza machza dami. Yeah. So the Rambam holds that niskaven laharag hazeh v'harag hazeh is pater. So he has no extra pasuk. So he said the chiddush Ran says he learns that both from the same pasuk. How can you learn that both? Usually you say you learn that either one din or the other. That's a problem. That is a problem. We don't fully understand what the kavua is over here. So usually the din of kavua means if there are 10 stores, the Gemara Ksubis has it at the end of the first paragraph as well. Here, the Gemara has it here. Teshu Chanunis. 9 stores sell kosher meat and 1 store sells treif meat. I went shopping today. I have a whole factory and I have workers, non-Jewish workers. And I promised the workers, in addition to giving them a salary, I will give them lunch. I will give them a healthy lunch. So every so often I go to buy nevela meat. I'm not mechayev to give them glatt kosher meat. L'mahadrim and l'mahadrim, they're not even Jewish. So I buy a tray for meat and I put it in the refrigerator. I put it in the freezer and I cook it for them. So one day I went shopping. And as I'm walking home, I have amnesia. I'm getting older. I'm forgetting things. I don't remember. I bought 20 pounds of meat. I don't remember. Did I buy kosher meat for my family or did I buy treif meat for the workers in the factory that I have? I don't remember. So that's the original case called kavua kamachza machza dami. I myself am a supik. Did I buy in the kosher store? Did I buy in the treif store? Here it's bo achbar lefanenu. The achbar. It was pirish b'fonein. We were watching when it happened, so it's also kavua. So that's the shach and simak kuf yud points out. There's a big machlokes in the rishonim. If pirish l'fonein and I was watching, does that have a din of kavua deraisa, or is that only a kavua derabbanan? But whatever it is, you still say kol kavua kemachza machza dami. Is there any logic behind kavua? Mathematically, is there any logic? Why? So basically, every time he learned here, every day he tried to figure out some logic to the din. He couldn't even figure out how it functions. When is it kavua? When is it not kavua? He couldn't figure it out. They told me, I never saw it. They told me that Rabbi Nachum Rabinowitz, who just passed away a few months ago from Ale Adumim, he got his doctorate in mathematics. And his dissertation was on this topic. He somehow gave a mathematical explanation to the institution of kavua. You have to know mathematics to be able to understand it. Okay. So what does the Gemara say with the Teisha Tziburim? If shakal b'faneinu, then it's kol kavua. But what if pirish was achba b'shakal? What if not? That's called kavua. But a pirish, if one of the, you have 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, and one of them was pirish, and I'm watching, one of them either pirish from the 9 or pirish from the 1. And then the achba comes, so that's not called kavua. Why is one is kavua, one is not kavua? So you have to know why. Pirish was achba v'shakal, ha'in a sefer. The pirush halacha acharoish. So if you go basarayv, then you say you have a right to assume that it's matzah. But in the case of kol kavuk hamatzah matzah dami, then it's considered as fake of the dina, a suffix whether it's chametz or it's considered matzah. Yeah. But if you have shnei tziburim, echad shal matzah ve'echad shal chametz, you don't have 9 to 1. You have 2 tziburim. Echad shal matzah ve'echad shal chametz, so lift name shnei bat, echad bar ve'echad she'en bar, b'osu shnei achbarim. Echad shal kol matzah ve'echad shal kol chametz, and each one of the achbarim ran into one of the two houses. But like Adina, we can't figure out hey lahai al, hey lahai al, which one of the achbarim went into this house and went into this house. Did the achbar with the chametz go into the bodek house or to the non-bodek house? You can't figure it out. So then the Gemara says, Hainu shtei kupas, that's the din of shtei kupas, the Tanya. Or what is it, this non? Part of it is a Mishnah, part of it is a Tosefta. What does it say, this non or the Tanya? That what? Shtei kupas, ach shachum, ach shal truma, of name, shnei batim, shnei soim. Ach shal chum, ach shal truma. Why? Sha'ani Yomer. Yeah, what's the din of Sha'ani Yomer? If you're dealing with a din deraisa, you can't be this called Talia. If you're dealing with the Truma Bizmanazah is only the Rabbanan, then you say Sha'ani Yomer. If you deal with Truma deraisa, that's what the Gemara says. Eimer Damin and Sha'ani Yomer be Truma de Rabbanan. Becomes deraisa mi Aminim. Fine. So if it's not, why is Truma de Rabbanan? Rashi writes, Bizman Hazeh, the top Rashi on Daf Yud. Why is Truma Bizman Hazeh de Rabbanan? That's a good question. So Rashi in Sanhedrin writes, in the third parak in Sanhedrin, the Gemara talks about Shvius Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanan. Shmita Bizman Hazeh is only Rabbanan. Rashi writes, why Bizman Hazeh? Shebatla Kedusha Sa'aretz. Rashi sounds like that the Kedusha Shniya was Batla. We know that the Kedusha Rishayna, Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they did the Kibush v'Chiluk. It took 7 years to finish the Kibush and 7 years to do the Chalukah, when it was Kol Echad Ve'echad Makir Eschelkoi, so then the Kedusha source was completed. So that's called Kedusha Rishayna. Tosfos in Yevamos on Daf Pei Beis quotes to Rabbeinu Hananel, who translates Kedusha Rishayna means Kedusha Rishayna was created in the days of Avraham Avinu. So Tosfos says, with all due respect to Rabbeinu Hananel, that's not the Pshat. And Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha till the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And the Bekadosh was the Kibush v'Chiluk. So the Kedusha v'Shayna means after Kibush v'Chiluk, Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha by the Jewish armies who conquered the land in 14 years of Kibush v'Chiluk. And then there's a question in Tanoim at the time of Churban by Yisrishayn. Was the Kedusha Soretz Batla or not? So the generally accepted opinion, the majority opinion is that the Kedusha Soretz was Batla. At the time of Churban HaOretz, not only the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but the whole Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was undone. And the Rambam explains why, because the Kedusha was accomplished through Kibush. So once you undo the Kibush, then the whole Kedusha is undone. So the whole Kedusha vanished. So then, for 7 years, the Jews were in Golas Bavel. Then they came back under Ezra and Nehemiah, and built the second Beis HaMikdash, and they endowed Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha Shnia. How did they endow it with the Kedusha? There was no Kibush. There was no Chalukah, there was no Kibush either. It wasn't in the control of the Jewish armies. There was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael till the days of the Hashmonai, from the days of the beginning of the Baisheni period, from the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. They were under Malchus Paras the Yavan, under the Goyish governments, till the Hashmonai made their rebellion. And then the last 204 years of the Baisheni, there was a Jewish government, but until then there was no Jewish government. So that's the question. What was the Mekadosh the second time around? So the Rambam writes Chazokah. We're not sure what Chazokah means, okay? The first time around the Mekadosh was Kibush v'Chiluk. Chalukah is the Gemar HaKibush. And the second time around the Mekadosh was Chazokah. We're not sure what the word Chazokah means. So then the Rambam gave an explanation why the Kedusha Rishayna was Batla, because Kedusha Rishayna was based on Kibush. And once the country was taken away from the Jewish people, the kibush was undone, so the kedusha was undone. But the kedusha shniya was not based on kibush v'chiluk; it was based on chazaka, whatever the word chazaka means. And maybe that was never undone. So that's how the Rama paskins. Kedusha shnei kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha lozi lava. The kedusha rishayna of Eretz Yisrael was batla at the time of churban bayis rishon, because there was churban of the whole medina. The whole medina was taken away from the Jewish people. The kibush was undone, but the kedusha shnei was not based on kibush, so it was never undone. And Rashi in Shulchan Aruch, the Bi'ur Agro in Shin Lamed Aleph, Bi'ur Agro quotes from Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch written by one of the Balei HaTosfos, the Rabbeinu Baruch, but he was a Rishon, so he throws in his Chidushim every so often. Not like a plain Kitzur that has Dinim that everybody knows, the Rabbeinu Baruch puts in Chidushim. So the Sefer, the Bi'ur Agro, in Shin Lamed Aleph, in Yeredei, quotes the Sefer HaTruma that the Kedusha Shnia was Batla. And the Beis HaLevi has a tshuva when he talks in the tshuvas. He talks about Shemitah B'zman HaZeh. The Raisa, the Rabbanon, will it help if he sell to a non-Jew? Does it take off the dinam of mitzvah satlius ba'aretz? So he says that Rashi and Sanhedrin in the third parak and said, it sounds like he helps that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh, the Rabbanon, because Batla Kedusha Sa'aretz. That's the Rashi here. Tshuva B'zman HaZeh is only tshuva the Rabbanon because Batla Kedusha Sa'aretz. The Rambam writes, tshuva B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanon, afilu b'mei Ezra. Not Bizman Hazeh, Bizman Hazeh, after the year 70, after the Churban Ha'aretz. Even Bizman Bayesheni, even before the Chashmonaim, the whole Tkufas, even during the Chashmonaim period. Afilu Bizman Habayis, the Rambam holds that it was only the Rabban. That's the question, why? Why was it only the Rabban? So why is Trum Bizman Hazeh only the Rabban? So the Beis HaLevi quotes a very interesting interpretation in the name of his son, Abchaim Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin. He, at that time, the Beis HaLevi used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin, and then he took over the Rabbanus and Brisk, and then Rab Chaim was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin. Then later, after Valozhin closed down, so then Rab Chaim became the Rabbi in Brisk. He took over the Beis HaLevi's position after Beis HaLevi passed away. So the Beis HaLevi quotes Rab Chaim Soloveitchik giving the following explanation. In order to be Mafrish Trumas and Maisa, you have to know which year of the Shemitah cycle it is. The first 2 years in Mafrish Truma Gedola, Maisa Risha, Maisa Sheni. The third year, you Mafrish Maisa Oni, instead of Maisa Sheni. The next 3 years, 4, 5, 6, a repeat of 1, 2, 3. Then the seventh year, everything is supposed to be Mafgar, everything, you're not Mafrish anything. So in order to, and you can't be Mafrish Mishon Al Chavata, even the first year and the second year, you have to, Haseh Tasas Kal Tua Zairach Hayotze Asod Shona Shona. That's the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. Shana Shana, you can't be mafrish mishana al chavata. So in order to be mafrish Trumas HaMaaseh, you have to know what year of the Shemitah cycle you're talking about. So the Rambam sounds like he paskins that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is the Rabbanim, because Shemitah depends on Yovel. Because the Chumash says in the beginning of Parashas Behar, every 7 years is Shemitah, and after 7 times 7, after 49 years, and every 70 year is Shemitah, then the 50th year is going to be Yovel. So the Sifro has a machlokes hatanaim on that pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Bahar. Rebbe's opinion, Rabbi Anasi is Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion is that if you know in advance that your observance of Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel, because you're lacking kol yoshveho oleho, in order to be obligated to observe Yovel, you have to have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. Because the pasuk says, when it comes to Yovel, ukrosim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveho. Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. That's the pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. I used to live in Philadelphia, so I used to go visit the Liberty Bell. We used to walk there on Shabbosim sometimes. That's one of the Mekomos HaKdoshim in American history. Independence Hall, Dolly Madison's house, Betsy Ross's house, all the famous places. So the Beis HaLevi quotes Rab Chaim Soloveitchik explaining the Rambam. Why is Trumas HaMaaseh B'zman HaZeh the Rabbanan? Because Trumas HaMaaseh is, in order to be Mechui, you have to know what year of the Shemitah cycle it is. Shemitah, you have to be able to lead up to a Yovel. And if you know in advance, you don't have Kol Yoshveho Aleho, the majority of the world Jewish population is not located in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to observe Yovel, then the whole obligation to observe Shemitah is only the Rabbanan. So if the Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, then the whole Trumas HaMaaseh has to be the Rabbanan. Because you don't know what year of the Shemitah cycle is it. There are no years of the there is no Shemitah cycle. When there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah deraisa, there's no Shemitah, so there can't be Trumas HaMaaseh. That's a problem, though, because the Rambam sounds like he said a different explanation. The Rambam doesn't. There's some kind of a mistake in the Rambam. The Rambam, when he says that there's a trim of his banazed, the Rabbanon, I feel it be May Ezra, he doesn't say exactly what Rab Chaim said he should have said. So that's an issue. But we assume trim of banazed, the Rabbanon. So that's the din of Talia. You have a right to be Talia. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. And we will continue tomorrow. And Thursday, maybe we'll do Chazar Thursday instead of doing Halacha. We already did much of Hilchas Chanukah. Maybe we'll do Chazar on Thursday. Then Sunday, officially, there's no school. So we'll learn tomorrow and Thursday. And then on Monday, we'll continue the Chazar. They told me the Bechina is supposed to, Rabbi Kalinsky said the Bechina is supposed to be on the 22nd of December. Is that what all the boys decided? I forgot already. That's what I was notified today. Okay, we'll work on that. Good. Very good.